have the privilege and the honor of introducing my husband, Pastor Ryan, and I am so excited for his message this morning because I'm in a unique position to see him seeking God behind closed doors, and I can tell you with all of my heart that his heart is that this message is from God to you. That's his heart for every message, that you hear God speaking to you, and that affects change in your life. So please join me in welcoming Pastor Ryan.
Thank you, Pastor Hope. I'm going to call you honey. Don't leave for just a second. I want to read this scripture, and then I want to preach. It's nice having a warm body to preach to here, you know, not used to empty seats still. It's interesting times we live in. Habakkuk 2:2 says this, "Then the Lord answered me and said, Hope, record the vision. Record the vision. Inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. That the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens towards the goal. It will not fail. And though it tarries, wait for it. Wait for it. For it will certainly come. It will not delay." Here's what I want to say. What do you see? And are you willing to wait for it? Wait for it. See, once upon a time, years ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there was a young girl named Hope Kibbe, who was Hope Jacobson at the time. That was my big reveal. At age 18, gave her life to Christ, and she decided to write the vision and make it plain about the type of person that she wanted to marry, the man that she wanted to marry. You can take it from there.
Okay, so Ryan asked me to share briefly, but I did give my life to Jesus when I was 18, and it was my, when I wrote the vision and made it clear, it was my sophomore year in college, and I was praying to God about my future spouse, and I felt like he said to me, write it down and then set it aside, trust me, and just really enjoy your college years. And interestingly enough, I met Ryan right after I graduated. In other cases, it's so important to keep that vision plain and right before us so we can see it. But in that case, my trust, my faith was exhibited by setting it aside and just trusting him with it. But really, it was very concise. It was simply that I wanted a man who loved God with all of his heart, all of his being, and only two things. The second thing, I had a vision of sitting out on a porch, watching the sunrise, drinking coffee, talking, reading our Bibles, journaling, and I just told God, I want the kind of guy who is going to want to enjoy nature with me, enjoy quiet, also enjoy just talking, communicating, loving to get into your word, sharing revelations that we get with one another in the word. And I totally got that. Ryan loves nature, loves quiet, also loves talking to me about what we see in God's word together. And so I kept it simple, and God is so faithful.
Amen. 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 Give me a hug. Right. There's no physical distancing between us. I want to preach. I want to speak to someone who may be at home, and there is a gap between what is and what needs to be, what is and what will be and what should be. And that gap, I can hear the online drum roll, that gap is the waiting room. I've been a dad, and I can tell you I've never had the experience of some dads from years ago who had to foot tap in the waiting room while they were waiting for the delivery on time for that baby. I was actually in the delivery room with my wife, and let me just say, I've never been through so much pain watching her go through so much pain. She's like, it's not the same. You're right, it's not. But she gave birth and it came on time. Write the vision, make it plain so that you can run with it. Here's the thing I want to throw at you real quickly, and then we'll go to John chapter 5 for the text, because I feel like God is birthing something in our hearts. He wants to paint a picture of what he's giving birth to. He wants to take your eyes off COVID-19. Young lady, he wants you to take your eyes off of second best and second rate. Young lady, he's speaking to you right now in home. He's speaking to the young man who's looking for the right person. And here's what he's saying. Don't quit. Don't settle. Don't give up. Persevere. Take it by faith and patience. You will inherit the promise, because right now you are in the waiting room. The waiting room. There is a scripture in John chapter 5. There is a scripture in John chapter 5 that I want to draw your attention to. And it's this situation where this man who has been laid up for years is in his waiting room, 38 years to be exact. And he's crying out for something. He has a vision for something. He needs healing. I want to talk to somebody about healing, not so much in the physical sense, although I believe today is your day. You've been in the waiting room, and today is the day of your salvation. But I also want to speak to the person who's in emotional pain. You're in an emotional waiting room, and you need deliverance today, because there's been a gap between what was in what needs to be. And that gap, that tension, is the waiting room. I want you to enlarge your vision, and I want you to understand that God gives purpose to your pain, and he can leverage your pain because he's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. In John chapter 5, verse 2, we get this picture, and it's a prophetic picture of God working it out on behalf of this man with interest. With interest. John chapter 5, verse 2 says, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick. So they were lame, they were crippled, they were withered, they were waiting for the move of the water. Say waiting, waiting. They were waiting for the move of the waters. An angel of the Lord then goes down at certain seasons into the pool, stirs up the water, and whoever then is first after the stirring of the water stepped in was made well from whatever disease they were afflicted. Well, a man who had been there ill for 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd already been there a long time in that condition, he says to him, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? That question rocks me. The sick man answered him, sir, no, Jesus, I don't want to be well. No, actually, that's not what he said. He said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps right in front of me. Jesus says to him, get up. Get up, pick up your pallet and walk. Immediately the man became well, picked up his pallet and began to walk. What do we see from that text? Point number one, don't let tunnel vision affect your vision. When we write the vision and we make it plain, God gives you glimpses and he gives you pictures, but oftentimes what we do while we're waiting in quarantine, trying to figure it all out, trying to make sense, looking at conspiracy theories online, trying to figure out what the government's gonna do, what Melba's gonna do, what my stimulus check is gonna do, I'm trying to figure it out and make my vision fit the way I see it, because I have tunnel vision, but I haven't caught his vision. Ladies and gentlemen, point number one, you have to get your eyes on what the world's provision is and get your eyes on who Jesus is. Because who Jesus is and what he carries and what he has is bigger than what you see. He saw one method of provision. That's all he saw. And how many of us, over the course of time, over the course of our lives, we've been in a place where, yep, that's the way it's always been done. That's the way it'll always be. There's no other way around it. This is my destiny. And we pigeonhole God and we box God in and we say, this is the only way that he's gonna move on my behalf. And here's what I also see in that text. What a stunning portrayal. I'm gonna look in this camera. What a stunning portrayal of the spirit of religion that puts the onus on you and I to make something happen to purchase or to get our breakthrough. So in essence, it's predicated on our ability to make it happen. How many of you know that when Jesus came, he turned the tables upside down and he says, it's not on you to make it happen. I make it happen when you partner with me. I'm gonna stir up the waters inside of you because I'm the living water that's coming at you. He couldn't see Jesus clearly because he didn't know he had tunnel vision. He could only see one thing. I think some of you right now have dreams to see things come to pass, and you are so isolated by one method or one way of accomplishing that vision. And I'm so pregnant. I'm in the waiting room going, oh man, no, it's bigger than that. There's something that comes alive when I stare out into what Jesus is doing. And I don't know who this man is because the Bible says he didn't. I don't know the full picture of this. All I know is that the man standing in front of me has something that is significant. This is an important part of us accomplishing what God put as the cry of your heart and birthing it in the waiting room, going from the waiting room and into your existence. What about you? What is the condition? What is the condition that confronts you? Some of you may not be in emotional pain. You're in quarantine going, man, I'm good. I don't know what everyone else is doing, but I feel great. Some of you feel great. You're healthy. You have not lost your job. You're not in the healthcare profession right now, having to do all kinds of crazy hours, and you're not laying it on the line. You're just kind of stuck doodling. Doodling, doodling, doodling. 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 Doodle, doodle, doodle. Waiting on the Lord is not wasting time. Waiting is not wasting. Waiting works. Let me say that again. Waiting works. Working is waiting. In the Old Testament, the scripture for waiting is this picture of lying in wait, like something lurking actively, lying in wait to set up ambushes to take it. Because as we know, hope is the confident expectation that something amazing that God is about to do is right there within our grasp. So here's what we're going to do. This picture of lying in wait is we're going to set up ambushes for the goodness of God to come in and crash in on that thing. I've watched for years preachers throw this man under the bus because they couldn't see him right away. But here's a picture of where I think gives hope to you and I. We set up ambushes for God to crash in and invade our vision. And it's this. This man had the wherewithal and the internal faith to get in position even though he was in a pathetic condition. He still knew something could happen here. Something summoned him there. And even though he missed Jesus from this way, God's grace was bigger than his vision and his tunnel vision, and God crashed in anyway because the presence of God trumps our religious performance. It's actually not how amazing you pray. It's how amazing the Holy Spirit within you prays. It's not amazing your amazing gifts, talents, and abilities in this season. God's saying, hey, I've anointed you, I've appointed you, and I've chosen you, and I'm going to do something in you and through you that blows you away. You pigeonholed me and boxed me in with tunnel vision. Now watch what I do and explode in your midst, and you're gonna see things you've never seen before because you're seeing how big I am in the waiting room. Everything that you're dreaming of has the potential to draw interest and be an explosive opportunity on the other side. Somebody say, waiting room. Waiting room. We're in the waiting room. I've heard stories since this whole thing broke in the last 4 weeks. I've heard stories. I've talked to some of you online. I've heard some of your stories. Some of you, when we talked about a now word, getting breakthroughs now, some of you are getting it. I just got a text from someone about a house today. They've been looking. They got this incredible favor of God moment. They got a house. It was a lot of circumstances. Just got a text right before I preached this message. Wow. God's on the move. We're getting breakthroughs in certain areas, but we all haven't arrived. We've got visions out there that only God can accomplish. Listen, if it's all about our great human achievement, it's not a big enough vision. Seeing an entire region collapse under the goodness of God and everyone in their household getting saved, I think that's a vision that only Jesus can accomplish. That's the kind of vision I want to go after. And there's a place that we need to partner with God and see what he's doing, but he may come one way and you may see him going this way. And it's important that we see with our spiritual eyes what he's doing. Pain has a way of limiting your focus and reducing you to what you see in your own ability. Emotional pain, physical pain has a way of putting our focus on our body or on our emotional pain and not on him. Jesus addresses that question in this text. Jesus steps towards our pain. Here's the thing that I think that hit me. He asked the question, do you want to be well? Now, I don't know if you're like me, but when I've gone to the emergency room, if I had a physician ask me that question, do you want your arm to be well? Let's be real. Emotionally, I'm probably a little offended. Like, that's why I'm here. I want to be healed. Jesus is hitting this man in 38 years of pain that he's having to walk through and navigate. And I don't think Jesus didn't know the answer. In fact, because he's 100% God, I know he knows the answer. What he wants the man to see is what the man knows to be the answer. The man himself needs to hear what comes out of his own heart. And here's what comes out of his mouth. And maybe you're like me. Sometimes when you're in the midst of the soup and you're in lockdown and quarantine and everything's been stripped away, the first words that can come out of your mouth are this: "Sir, I have no, sir, I have no man. Sir, I have no money. Sir, I have no help. Sir, I have no friends. Sir, I have no girlfriends. Sir, I have no boyfriends. Sir, I don't have anything. I am pathetic. I am here. Sir, I have no. Sir, I have nothing." Well, that's one perspective. Here's another. You may not, but who stands in front of you? He certainly has. The great I am is right there. It's not about what your gifts and talents are. It's not about what you have. It's about what he has and who he is. Man, that's preaching good, Ryan. I really like that. I know it's kind of quiet in this empty auditorium. Got a few of my fans here on the front row. Hey, gang. He's teaching me to reframe the narrative. See, here's the thing. This man had an encounter with God. Here's what I'm willing to bet. That one encounter with God reframed his narrative when it came to emotional and physical pain. He no longer, after an encounter with Jesus, can say, "Sir, I have no," when he's encountered the one who has it all. You can't start from a place of lack when all of heaven backs your play. If we're going to be totally vulnerable and honest, I can tell you I've had moments in ministry where I've been so crippled by fear and felt the weight of ministry and people's problems and just crushed that. But I can equally tell you, looking straight in the eye, in fact, I want to look in this one right over here. I want to look straight in the eye and tell you this flat out. This is as sincere as I can be. I've read online where already there are online people telling churches that they need to be in fear because their economic survival is going to collapse because of this COVID situation. And all I have is one word for that. I have zero fear of that because my source and who I've encountered isn't about people. It's about his provision for the vision. And you say, well, Ryan, how does that work if nobody sends money online during this crisis and blah, 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 and everybody has their jobs? Here's the deal. This isn't my vision. It's his vision. And my God can't be boxed in from one way or one method of accomplishing his vision. So if it didn't happen, but it's the truth. I mean, they know it too. We don't live based on what we see. His world and his provision are greater in all of us. And that's what makes our team great. That's what makes our people great. That's what makes you great, because you're people of faith. And deep down inside, you know and I know that the 401k, all of that stuff is not our provision. It can be taken away in a second, but when it's all stripped down, we still have him. And because we have him, we have it all. Gosh, that felt good to say. It just did. I can feel the cheers of 1,000 generations of saints clapping in heaven going, COVID, what? You go, boy. You preach. No longer do we say, sir, I have no. We say, thank you, God, because you have it all. And I'm going to follow your lead. Even when I don't understand, when the Waymaker is here and I don't know how he's gonna make a way, but he will. And just for the record, by the way, just a total sidebar, thank you so much for your generosity, because the last month we didn't skip a beat. Thank you, keep it up, and we're reaching more people electronically than we ever have in our lifetime. I was talking to Pastor Rick earlier, who really gauges that, and he can correct me later, but I think we had well over, just from Easter Sunday, well over 3,000 views, which reaching up to a potential, I think it said, of like 5,000 potentially reached people. So how many of those may have, even for 3 seconds, 10 seconds, what if they were on for 30 minutes or less? They got something of the gospel and the presence of God being released through the screen that was touching and impacting their life. It's one encounter like that. Think of what God can do. See, we can't get tunnel vision and say it only can be advanced this way. God is doing a new thing in the earth. He's using the airwaves, and he's destroying the prince of the power of the air, and he's turning the tables upside down in this hour. So what the enemy thought could destroy us and limit us is now gonna launch us. Truth. Sir, I have everything I need, sir, in him. It's not about what you don't have, it's what he has. So how are you doing? This is where we get real and say, and my wife does this too. She'll say, how are you doing? I'm fine. And she'll look me in the eye and she'll go, how are you really doing? I'm fine. It's not that I never feel fear. It's just that I've had so many encounters of God bringing provision for the vision. And every time when I feel fear, that fear, as Pastor Julie said earlier, it's a spirit of fear and it has to buzz off. It's no place. It comes at us, but it's not in us. We have the Holy Spirit. We walk by faith, not by sight. One other part of that text I want to bring up. Here's what the facts were. And some of you may be dealing with the facts. The facts were, this man was ill, crippled, and laying down. We don't know if he was at the pool for 38 years. It's not necessarily what it says, but he knows that for 38 years he's dealing with this condition. And his position in Christ was not to be in this condition. Here's what we know. The facts were he had this. But here's what we also know. The truth is a person. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So when the facts of this man's situation collided with the truth of who Jesus is, in that every scenario, when heaven invades earth, we have access to the truth and his realities in the unseen realm. That's what 2 Corinthians tells us. The unseen world is the truth, and it's a greater reality than our current present facts. The facts may be, you may have lost your job. The truth is, he's Jehovah Jireh and he's your provider. The facts may be, you may have a sickness or a disease or a joint pain or back pain. But the truth is, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the encounter of Jesus Christ, you have a right to be liberated through electronic transmission right now through that glass lid into your TV screen and smartphone. You have the access to an immortal, eternal God who can invade you and crash in on you and change your back pain options right now. You've been in the waiting room. Time to give birth to something new. Time to give birth to something new. What are you pregnant with that he wants to give birth to? The question, did you want to get well? And that is the question, right? Because when we have a vision for something, if we take our old mindset from the way things used to be and bring it into something new, we will bring that thought process into something new, and it won't fulfill the vision the way God intended. So he says to the man, pick up your mat. Pick up your mat and walk. Follow me on down the road. I imagine this man didn't know who Jesus was. He had probably been given lots of Christian advice over the years about the 50 steps to jump into the water and how to make your best miracle work for you right now. He'd been given all the formulas, all the religious routines. He'd had all of the condemnation and the voice vultures in his head saying he couldn't, he wouldn't, he shouldn't. He had theologians tell him why he'll be sick for the rest of his life. He heard people who went to seminary who would tell him that he would never, ever, ever overcome. Voice vulture after voice vulture. What is it in your life? What are the voices coming at you that are limiting you? And the question is, do you want to be well? Do you have a vision to see yourself beyond your circumstance and walk into something fresh and new? Because for his lifetime, he was relegated to a mat with a mess. A mat with a mess. But God wants us to do something with our mess. He wants to make it a message. And when you come out of that mess, he says, pick up your mat and walk, and I'll take that, and I will double down against what the enemy used against you. And what was once the thing that was used against you is now an instrument for you to wreak havoc on others who have been oppressed by that same thing. Mr. Addiction years ago, this guy, countless addictions, none of them own me ever again. I'm not an addict. I'm a son of God, totally liberated and free, and you can be too. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. It means that stuff doesn't own me anymore. My mess became a message. And when he changed my mindset, I walked into a new identity and I saw myself differently. And I was willing to go back and clean up my mess, not from a place of works, but because of his finished work, I'm now empowered to go back and clean up my messes. So when I make messes, I now have the ability to say, I'm sorry. And not only am I sorry, I'm gonna go clean up the mess as I pick up my mat and I walk. I now have the power to navigate relationships differently instead of blaming, blame shifting, and it's their fault, and oh, I don't have any help, and self-pity, and nobody wants to throw me into the water, and it's excuse after excuse after excuse. That was my world, but that was my mess. Now I stand up here and proclaim a message, and it was birthed in the waiting room. What are you waiting on with the Lord? In Isaiah, it says a beautiful portion of scripture. I want to put it up there for you. It says, but those who wait, they're working, they're setting up environments for the Lord to crash in. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and they will not faint. Here's what I feel the Lord is saying to you. Get up. Get up. Get up off that mat. Rise up. Rise up. It is a new day. It is a new day. Get up. Rise up. Step into it. Know that you're free, that you were bought with a price, and transform your mindset. This is what God is saying. Pick up your pallet and walk. Psalm 27:13 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Take courage. Be of good courage, and he'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We've dealt with the facts, but we know the truth. There are promises that God, the gaps between the potential and the promise fulfilled, is your willingness to give Jesus what you do have. See, this man was still in position, even though he couldn't see everything clearly. But when the one who brings vision was in his focus, and he engaged the one who brings the vision of it all, he comes alive, and his options are changed forever. I want you right now in your home to write the vision and make it plain. I want you to think about what you're thinking about. And if you're not thinking about it, if you're running all the time, but you don't have a vision, you're going to run and never know where you're going. How can you run with a vision if you don't know where you're going? God is the vision giver. He is perfect vision. And he is summoning you to write that vision and make it plain. Where is God calling you? What is God calling you to do? And what is the place of empowerment that he wants to change your options from a mess and make it a message? It's not about what you can't do right now. It's about what he can do. There are in this house many prophetic words. I'm going to close with this. In this house, we have had many prophetic words. And a practical tip for overcoming the times that we're in, what I personally do, what my wife does, and I know many of our teammates do, is they stand on the promises of God, both in the written word in the Bible, and they stand on the prophetic words, which are simply the whispers of God to us personally. I've had a number of prophetic words about this house, and almost every time, without exception, when we've been given prophetic words over the years concerning our corporate body at Elevation Church, here's two things I know. I hang on to them for dear life like a pit bull, but in every case, I've had a contradiction, every time. And that falls in line with what Matthew says when Jesus said, when the word of the Lord came and when the word hit the pavement, some were snatched away because persecution came because of the word proclaimed. See, when you get a prophetic word that can alter the course of your destiny and those of others to advance his kingdom, just let's get real. There's an enemy out there that wants to snatch that word away. So what I do is I refine my focus, I hunker down, and I say, what did God say in the midst of the contradiction? And I want to close with this point. In May of 2019, we had a prophetic word uttered on a Wednesday night in this house. And I say this because the vision of Elevation Church is to elevate people, to see them raised to a new life in Christ, to equip them for his purpose, and to engage the culture around us through the mighty power of God. See, if I was looking at it from the eyes of, sir, I have not, sir, I have none, sir, I have no, it would be very easy to abort that word as I'm talking to you, because the word that came over this house was expansion. The word that came over this house was something extraordinary. And here I stand preaching to you in an empty auditorium. Watch this word.
This is what God is saying concerning this church. He's saying, watch what he's about to do now. I just see a service after a service after a service. A service after, in one Sunday, I just see services after service, because the people are gonna begin to flock in. Isaiah 60 will become a reality now in this time here. Even that scripture, yes, yeah, take it, it's here. Amen. God is saying, he is saying, Isaiah 60, and then in Isaiah 60, I just see, those that despised you and left you will come bending to you to receive from your mouth. They'll come to receive from your mouth. I just see the doors being opened continuously. Just people flocking in. I you see what happens at Bethel, where the service finishes, then we prepare for another service, because of people just flocking in. And God is saying, this will be a place of revival. Like the same thing that they experience in Reading. But of course, what's happening here is for here. But I just see something like Reading, like what they experienced there in Reading at Bethel. I just see like that here. Just services after service. Just the doors open and people coming in, and then people going out, and another service, just people coming to experience the power of God, and the songs being written from here, and the songs spreading all over the world from here. The songs spreading all over the world from here. That's what the Lord is saying. He's saying it's gonna be so. Like we see people play Hillsong, they play Bethel from Bethel Church, Hillsong from Hillsong Church, and there will be songs from here, from this place, that will be written all over the world. They will be known all over the world. There will be songs of power, songs of glory. Thank you, Jesus. 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 And even in 2 years, this place will not contain you. This place will not contain what God is going to do. And God is saying, don't worry about the building, because there is a building that's going to be given to you without even paying anything. Don't worry. It's just going to be given to you without paying. We have seen it. I remember I prophesied to one pastor in New York that is going to receive a building. They received it. It happened so quicker than even I expected. They received one church, said, the one church, something happened to that church. They gave them the building. They took over everything without even paying any amount. God is saying, don't worry. The building will be given to you, given to you. It will be given. Don't worry about these things. And labradea masalavisha, lebredisha lamondoro cinema. You are raising a prophetic generation, says Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
So I wanted to bring Pastor Julie in, and we're talking about the waiting room. And this is, we're in a place right now where everything around us would be a contradiction to what we just heard. Tell the people at home how you're handling your waiting room while you're waiting, while you're working, because songs will be written from here. You wanna share that with them?
Sure. I think it is in the waiting. It's taking the quiet time that he's given us and pressing in. I've had more vision in the last couple of weeks than I think I ever have.
Come
regarding
on.
The team, regarding songwriting. We actually, I hope this isn't against regulation, but we're looking at a songwriting gathering next week. There's only like six of us, so I think we're still legal.
Yeah.
But he's just been downpouring the music, downpouring the songs, and giving us a lot of refinement in what's to come. I feel right now I have more direction than ever of this becoming a reality.
Come on.
Yeah, so it's been exciting. It's a little overwhelming, but it's been exciting knowing that this is all the beginning.
And
this is the beginning of what we're doing.
It's refined our focus, too.
Absolutely.
We've had to work different in the season. So even though we thought Jesus might come this way, we didn't have tunnel vision. We're adapting in our environment and our times.
Right. Well, he's forcing us, even in having to produce. I'm learning things on post-production and recording that I wouldn't have had the time. So I see him preparing us for this moment.
Amen. Amen. We're going to take communion. Thank you, Pastor Julie. They're going to finish with a song, but Pastor Hope and I are going to receive communion with you. And what we want to believe for is all of the promises of God are yes and amen. The Bible says that with faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Faith and patience. And we never look more like Jesus than we are learning to be long-suffering in areas of our life that require perseverance. James talks about the book of trials that we have to go through. God never promised us it would be easy, but he did promise that he would be with us and he would never leave us or forsake us, and that he is faithful to bring that vision to pass. What is it that God is speaking to you? Pastor Hope, if you would lead us in communion.
Sure. So years ago when our kids were all little, we would have what we called special communion time at the Kibbe house. And we'd all sit on the ground together, crisscross applesauce, and we'd hold up the communion element. And Ryan and I would tell our kids that Jesus's body was broken for us. And then we would actually break the element in half. So whatever you're using for your communion this morning, if you would break it in half right now. And that was just a good visual for our kids. And then we would tell them that his body was broken so that our body and our emotions and our hearts could be healed and whole. And then before we would partake of the communion, we would put it back together to demonstrate that he was broken so that we can be whole in him. And then we would partake. So let's partake together.
Amen.
And I'm just going to grab the juice here. The blood of Jesus. I love what Pastor Bill Johnson, I heard him say that he never revisits his past apart from the blood of God. And the blood of Jesus is so, so powerful, and we can apply it to our past, our present, our future. And there is something that is so mysterious and so powerful in that. So when we take of the blood this morning, let's do it in faith and in agreement that the blood of Jesus covers us. The blood of Jesus covers our family. Amen.
And as Pastor Julie and the team prepare to sing this song, Take Courage, I wanted to release a word of knowledge over someone. I felt like the Lord said, and I heard this while they were playing earlier, I hear that you know what to do. Take courage. You know what needs to be done. He's saying, get up. And I heard the word, start it up, crank it up. Start it up, crank it up. Risk it, explore it, take time to develop it. Leverage the season that you're in to do that. Don't have tunnel vision. It's not going to unfold exactly how you think, but it will go according to the plan. I also heard this. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? I feel like there's some people that you've hidden behind a thought, a label, a lid, a limitation, maybe even a disease, and called it your identity. Any of that, you have the risen Christ with you and in you. You're bigger than that. There's no disease that can define you. There's no attitude or thought process, label, lid, or limitation that has the right to define you. Jesus defines you. That's what he came for, to show you and reveal the Father and who you are and your value. One last one. I also heard this. Stimulus checks are arriving to jumpstart the economy. And I heard the Lord saying, I'm sending my stimulus in the form of a word, this word, and many others to you directly to stimulate you to set up ambushes so that I can crash into your waiting room. If you don't know Jesus, there will be pastors here. We can, if you want to reach out to us, we will pray with you. You can go on our website, prayer requests. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I never want to miss an opportunity online to do that. The invitation's real simply. Believe, confess that he's Lord. You can do it in the privacy of your own living room, and then go tell somebody by faith you receive that. You're totally forgiven of all sin, past, present, and future. It's what we just celebrated. It is that easy. The Christian life isn't always easy. But the free gift of salvation is easy. We receive it by faith because of his grace and empowerment for you. If that's you, let us know. Go public. Let us know. And I also want to hear your testimonies. I feel like somebody got emotionally healed today. I feel like courage was released in the atmosphere. And if you haven't caught that courage yet, Pastor Julie and our team are going to lead the way and lead the charge on the way out. We love you guys. God bless you. And we'll see you next week.